1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24 says this: May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Good morning, church. I am so happy to be here this morning. I'm happy to be with you guys. I hope that you have been able to celebrate this morning. I hope that you feel welcome. If this is your first time here this morning, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I hope you feel welcome. I hope this feels like maybe home to you. Our desire as a church is to just love God and love the people that he surrounds us with. Right? Right, church? All right, good deal. Let's make sure we're on the same page. Real quick, I also want to welcome those who are online with us today. If you're at home or anywhere else that you can get something like some juice and some bread, we're doing communion today. And love for you to participate with us. Also, if you're online too, shout us a hello. Let us know that you're with us and how we can be praying for you too as a church. I'm just overwhelmed today by God's presence and what he's going to do today. Who knows if we see it on the outside, but I truly believe God's going to be doing some work. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. So first and foremost, I give God all the praise for today. All right? It is all on God. I want to start there first and foremost. Our sermon is titled Through and Through today. And as I was preparing for this today, I started thinking about when I was probably a teenager, and this thought process that I had as a teenager, which I think many of us probably had while we were doing chores, that we wish there was inventions out there that could do our chores for us, right? And I would love to go back to that Ben Alexander of that time and say, we live in an era where those things are starting to happen. Right? And I praise God for it. Right? We have vacuums that roam around on their own now. They don't have to be pushed. Right? Praise God. Right? We have now, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's lawnmowers that are remote controlled. That's awesome. Right? I would mow everybody's lawn in my neighborhood. Right? Just being able to zip around with that remote control. Like, that's my dream. Being able to drive long distances now, they have cars that drive themselves. Now, you're not really supposed to fall asleep. Boy, would it be tempting to fall asleep and just be on the interstate and freak people out. Like, that Ben Alexander as a teenager would be like, you're living in that time? That's awesome. There are other things now as an adult that I hope to see in my lifetime. I want to see a washer and a dryer that folds the laundry. Anybody else? Like, I think I would pay pretty significant amount of money for that, right? I would even go in with other people. Yeah, just come over a house, throw it in, it'll fold it, pick up later. Like, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? Right? Like, and the thought process as I was preparing for this is this idea of living a life on autopilot. Right? Where everything that is like a chore, everything that is a nuisance, everything that I wish I didn't necessarily have to do in my life, I would love to have a button that I could just push and it was taken care of for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? If not, you're lying. And we can talk about that later. All right? Like, for instance, I wish dishes just automatically clean themselves after I got done with them. Like, that would be wonderful. But then I guarantee wherever I was eating that time, I wish I had something where it would pick up the dishes and take it to the sink to be cleaned too, right? Like, the idea of it would just compel and compel, like, it'd be crazy. But we live in a time where it's, like, amazing. For instance, I'm really dating myself here for a lot of the teens and even millennials. I grew up in a time when you didn't have GPSs on your phone, you didn't have a Garmin, you didn't have those things. You went off a map and you got lost and you figured it out. Right? Right? Anybody else? All right, some of you were part of the wagon trains, all right? And you're even like, man, we didn't even have roads. You don't even know, right? Or, man, we discovered it, right? Like, just living in that. And those were hard times, but it was part of life. Now I have a phone, I can just say, hey, take me to Burger King, and it goes, okay, I'd love to. Have it your way. And then you just get in the car and you go, right? And depending on the car, you can just have it drive it to you, right? I mean, there's cars now that will just pick you up at the door. That's amazing. That's awesome. But we didn't have that kind of growing up. And I started thinking about, and this is, again, my brain is just weird. I know I'm wired different. It's okay. I'm trying to make a connection here. But I started to think about my spiritual walk. And how easy it is to be on autopilot. Oof, I'm sorry, I brought us down too quick, right? But it is. You know, and let me help us. Like, I think, man, I can easily go, man, I listen to great Christian music, and it gets me going. I will have a Bible, like, I have a Bible study, and it feeds me. I have Sunday morning, and sometimes the pastor's got it, you know, and the music this morning, man, it got me going. I'm ready to worship him. And then Monday hits, and I'm like, man, I'll wake up and I'll be like, God, help me do what I want to do, right? And make my life easy. I think many of us look at God and go, okay, God, please be like Siri or Google. And every time I feed information to you, please satisfy my needs. Right? Because I'm there. I've been there. And it's easy to find ourselves in that trap of a relationship with God. We don't really give God much time. And I might be over-speaking for other people. But I have a little bit of a thought process that I think that we don't give God the time for him to speak into our lives.
Yes. Amen.
Right? I think I wake up in the morning, you probably wake up in the morning and instantly go, okay, I got to get ready. I waited to the last second before I could be late to work or wherever I need to go and get in there and just maybe I'll listen to the devotion on the way to work or wherever I'm going, right? No? Okay. Maybe I'll listen to good Christian music. Maybe I'll pray on the way. Right? Like, I think God gets on the way to wherever we're going. And this morning, we're going to talk about what it looks like to slow down and allow God to speak into our lives. And what happens when we do. When we slow down and listen. Not even go, God, my life is in misery. I'm having to still do chores. Please stop, right? Not even going to that point, but going, God, what do you want from me? Right? And I want to start with this. Thank you. You're right. Let me reread it for you. May God himself, the God of peace. We can stop right there. I think a lot of us probably would really enjoy some peace. You probably have lived in some chaotic times. Maybe you haven't had a sense of what peace looks like in your own household, your work, your life in general. Maybe you've made decisions that you know has caused disruption and chaos in your life. And I want you to know, when God is involved, he brings peace. And I want you to know, too, I'm not the most sentimental person, but there have been moments in my life that I have slowed down and have recognized the presence of God in the area that I am and am overwhelmed by his peace in it.
Yes.
And it's amazing. right? It sets you back. It makes you help you understand, man, all of this world that you live in is puny to the one that created to it. All right? And so let's move on. And we're going to get to a word that is very churchy. All right? Sanctify you through and through. Sanctify. This is a word within even the Nazarene tradition that we really hold on to. We call it entire sanctification. And many of us believe, and we've gone through a period of the Nazarene tradition of going, okay, once you are entirely sanctified, which means pure, holy, never going to sin again, you are perfect. Right? And I will tell you, there has been a lot of debate. Like, this is the goal when it comes to understanding our relationship with God, to be sanctified, which means to be perfect, right? Now, just like anything else, we have a tendency to abuse this. We have a tendency to make people go, well, you're not sanctified, you're not holy like me, right? Anybody else? All right? Like, this is the world in which it can wind up and get in just nastiness. And I want you to know, first and foremost, sanctity, it's in Scripture, it's meant to be this understanding. The closer I desire to be with God, the closer I am to understanding what holiness is, which is, the word holiness, when you look at Greek, is amazing to me. You know what it says? That the holiness in Greek is other. I was going to think, no, pure and blameless. Something that's like going out there and going, if I'm holy, I am this grand poobah of amazingness, right? That's what I grew up thinking holiness was. Anybody else? Do you know holiness means other? Let me help you with that. Other means everything else of this world, and it's other than that. So we live in a world of what? Sin. Brokenness. Corruption. Evil. Right? And if we go back to Adam and Eve, if we understand the Genesis story, they lived in a world of complete holiness. And they chose something to understand a world that was other than that. Okay? And because of that, the world fell. And we live in this broken world now. Alright? Now, the only thing that makes this sanctified through and through is by the grace and mercy of God's presence in your life. That's it. That's it. And I'm going to explain later that, guess what? No matter how hard you work at it, no matter being the best person in the entire world by your own ability gives you no step up from anybody else in the reign of holiness. Because it's not a step-up program either, and it's not something you earn, it's not something you deserve, it is a gift by the presence of God in your life. And he comes in, and the closer you get to God, guess what starts to happen? You slow down, and he wants to sanctify you. He wants to make you other than the misery of this world. So, let me help you this. What that looks like, When somebody does you wrong, what's your natural reaction? To do them wrong back, right? This is autopilot. Let's go back to autopilot Ben Alexander. If you punch me, guess what I'm going to do? Cry. Gotcha. My desire in my brain and my heart will be like, man, I want to punch you so bad. Right back, because they deserve it, right? Right? Autopilot Ben, if I hear gossip, guess what I want to participate in? what's going on. Come on, feed it to me, right? I want to know the juicy stuff too. Oh, did you hear about Michelle this week? She made it to church finally. I'm going to stand over here for a while. Like, it's autopilot then becomes this person that is not necessarily understanding what holiness and sanctity is. Because I've gone back to the natural part of who I am. All right? So you slap me, I slap you back. The gossiping trend, oh man, it's easy to find myself in that. If I find myself in a situation that I'm going to be convicted of something, like autopilot, then how can I lie my way out of it? Right? Like, that's the unsanctified understanding of a life. And once I become more sanctified, it's understanding, listen, I don't want to participate in that because that is not of what God has desired of me or you. And it's not because I'm better than you. That's not the idea of it. And that's not how we look at this world. We don't walk out here like, ha, I don't do these things that you do and I'm better than you. That's not how we live this out. It's not a game. It's not something we put on our shoulder and like, I'm better than you and I have a badge of honor in it, you know? It's not that. It's a relationship that gets purer and purer. Do you know, it's been an interesting road being married to me. I know it has. And I've put my wife through a lot of things. We've moved and moved because of me. All right? And I would say, just like most marriages, probably the first year was really rough. Trying to learn how to live together, learn how to argue together. Yeah, you have to argue together. You have to learn how to argue together. At least I did. Right? You have to learn how your role is. It just doesn't come natural, at least not to me. Right? Some of you are better, I get it. But it's a work in progress. And I will tell you, this last year, and I'm not trying to be sappy or anything, but I have re-fallen in love with my wife tremendously this last year, and I've grown closer to her and more intimate with her about how we talk, how we live life together. Like, I'm excited. That shouldn't be a surprise, but I said it as a surprise. I'm excited to live with her finally. Man, I'm digging holes left and right. But I want you to understand, it's because I am invested in her. And I've learned through the years, the more that I want to be invested in her and not, like, expect anything out of her, I love her more. Because I'm pouring into it. I will tell you, early on, it was like a game. Man, I want to give, but man, am I not getting what I want back? And when I wouldn't receive the love that I want back, guess what would happen? And I would be bitter, and autopilot Ben would step in and be like, love me the way I want to be loved. Right? Anybody else? Anybody else? I think we do the same thing with God. Like, I think we get to a point where we're like, God saved me, but it's on my terms. I'm still the same Ben of the moment. I just know God loves me and I'm going to heaven. And I'm good with that. Right? I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ did not come to this earth and die on a cross so you just need to go have a free ticket to heaven. Let me repeat it again, because I felt like I said it really quick. Jesus Christ did not come here just so you have a free ticket to avoid hell. He didn't. He came here to invest in you, to make you a person that is holy and sanctified through and through. And I don't want us to get caught up in the minutiae of that word of going, okay, so I'm better than everybody. That is nothing to do with being better than anybody else. It's so that you know love more intensely, that you can experience love on a different level and be able to love the way that He has called you to love. It is a different life once you allow Him to search you through and through. All your thoughts. How amazing would it be if we allow God to capture our thoughts? Anybody's thoughts just go wild sometimes? To a point that you're stressed out? That you live with worry? I'm there. I think almost every scenario that I can horribly imagine, that's going to be the worst thing ever. And it stinks to live with that anxiety. Do you know that if I allow God to search me through and through and sanctify me, I give that over to Him. Do you know what that is called? Peace. To not let my brain wander in certain ways that are not healthy and good for me. I guarantee you need this just as much as anybody else. You have so many messages that are being told to you. Man, if you slow down and just heard to the Creator's voice and going, I love you the way I created you. Right? May your whole spirit, soul, body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is not about necessarily being perfect and without sin. This is about the idea of going within my deep relationship with God. I am growing and allowing Him to change and transform me. So these moments, let's say again, somebody slaps me, and I'm not on autopilot anymore, but I see who they are through the eyes of God. And they're not the person that slapped me, but they are somebody that God loves so much that He says to me, He says, turn the other cheek. You see, this is one of the things I've learned as I've grown older. It was a great phrase growing up that the service industry, right? You can have a waiter or a waitress that is just having a horrible night, and they are horrible at their service. And you are justified in going, you don't deserve a tip. In fact, I want to talk to your manager, and I can't stand you. And I'm never coming back to this. Right? Anybody ever have those moments? Right? I heard a story one time, like, you just never know the situation that they are dealing with and woke up with that day. But you woke up with God. And if you spend time in His presence and begin your day allowing Him to search you through and through, guess what starts to happen in those moments? You look at them and you give them what a sanctified life looks like. One of peace, understanding, compassion. In moments that are not deserved, but in moments that you give freely. You look different from this world. You act different from this world. And it's, again, it is not by your own doing, it is by what God is doing in your life. Amen. And the more that we slow down, and we take a moment and listen, don't speak to God. Let God speak to you. I know we all have our things that we want to lay down at His feet. I know that we are all dealing with the wants and desires of this life. We all have the needs, and we all have things that we are going through right now. Start with listening to God first. Allow Him to speak into your life. Because what it's going to do is bring new life and understanding to the situations that you face. And what was hopeless, you find hope in Jesus. Amen. Right? Like, it's different. In Ephesians, I want you to understand, I did this backwards intentionally, because I wanted to understand understand, like, those who are saved need to understand that there's a requirement, there's an understanding of God looking at us and allowing God to search our hearts, to evaluate our hearts. Ephesians talks about this from the other side of it. For it is by grace you have been saved. I love to start there first. It is not by ownership, it is not by demand, it is not by do this or else that you're saved. It is by what?
Grace.
He loves you so much. We get John 3:16, right? If you know it, you know it. Man, he sent his only begotten son to do what for you today? Die for you. Do you know what the next verse is talking about? He did not come to do what? He did not come to condemn this world, but to free it.
Yes.
To free it. Man, that is a love that we don't understand. That is something totally different than we ever get. Because every relationship that we have right now is a give or take. If you treat somebody wrong, it's natural what to do what? Treat them wrong. Right? Are you just ignoring them? Are you saying they're not part of my life? I want you to know, when it comes to Jesus, praise God that he didn't do that with us. Because he has every right to turn his back on us and not love us. To step off that cross and say that we are not worth it. And let's remember this, church. Who are the ones that put Jesus on the cross? The righteous called for his name to be hung up there. We have inherited that sin. There are many times I think we deal with this still today. That we take our relationship with Jesus for granted because of how we choose to live. How we choose not to be sanctified, to be other with him. Alright? So I think we need to be aware of this. Through faith, this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us today. If this is your first time hearing this kind of message, I want you to know Jesus Christ loves you so much. And it's not because you have done anything. It's not because that you can earn this. And guess what? There is no church that will ever burn down because you entered it, because Jesus paid the price for it. And I want you to know, Jesus still pays the price for it today. That's how much he loves you. There is no time stamp on his sin, like his ability to sacrifice for our sin. It's ongoing. That's how much he loves you. That's the grace that he gives so freely. And this morning, my hope is that you accept that gift, that you understand that you are his handiwork, that he doesn't have any disappointment bone in his body. He's just only hurting when you continue to deny him. And he's not hurting for himself, he's hurting for you. The more we deny, the more grace that he's willing to give. This is the thing, though. The more we deny, the more hurting we cause ourselves. Because we're not being what he created us to be. We're this other, this unhealthy, this hurting deep within our soul. And we can't figure it out. And we wake up miserable, and we wake up lost, and we wake up hopeless. I'm telling you right now, this morning, if you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, and you want to wake up to a place that is not on autopilot, you want to look and sound different, you want to have hope in your life, you want to have grace in your life, you want to have love in your life, you want to have something that's different from what the world is selling you, I'm telling you right now, you can have that. Jesus loves you. And no matter what, at every opportunity, if you feel like you've messed up and 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 messed up, I mean, it could go on and on and on. Guess what? His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It is. And he loves you so much that no matter what you keep doing, he will redeem it if you allow him to redeem it. This is also the amazing thing about God. God is not an intrusive God. He is one that wants to be invited into your life. He's not going to force his will upon you. Instead, he waits patiently at the door and knocks until you invite him in. And I will tell you, the moment you invite him in, man, he's fine with reckoning. He's fine with changing it all around and going, this is what matters. This is what I want you to know. I love you right where you're at, and I'm going to move you to a place that might be uncomfortable, but man, you will find joy. You will find hope. You will find a passion that has never been there before. And you're going to be in a place where somebody slaps you, and you get to go, man, here's my other cheek, and do this for Jesus. Autopilot event is off. I don't have to react anymore like this. The gossip's there. I don't need to be part of that. Oh, I know I've done something wrong, and I need to go and ask for forgiveness, and I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm going to let him redeem it. And that whatever consequences, I know he's got me. Imagine living with that kind of confidence. Right? That's what he offers in the newness of him. This morning, I think there's two folds. If this is your first time requesting God to understand who he is, you have that opportunity. You have that opportunity going home. You have that opportunity tonight. You have that opportunity tomorrow. But I would encourage you, don't wait. Don't wait, because he wants to use you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to give you hope and joy that you've never experienced before. And this is it, church. This is the part, I think, that we miss out on. We don't do good at. Whew. Are we joyful? Are we grateful? Are we the example of what Jesus has done in our life to a world that goes, man, you are different? You don't lie, cheat, or steal, or try to do anything that gets you ahead of the game. You own your mistakes. You take the extra step with me this week when nobody else would. You saw my needs and you filled my needs. You see, the more we understand what it means to be sanctified, it means a life that is living out what Jesus has done before us. And we start to embrace who Jesus is and start to reflect that in our lives. What a better person. I don't know about you. The first time I came in encounter with Jesus Christ in my life and I could not lay this book down, I wanted to know more about him. I had a great imagination. Man, I wanted to live in the time of Jesus and like slap every disciple. Like, why aren't you getting this? Like, he's doing amazing miracles, right? Like, how easy would it be to have faith during that time and see Jesus walk on water, heal the blind, spit in the eyes, and something like all of a sudden they can see, you know, feed 5,000, which was actually 10,000 people, with 3 loaves. Like, that's crazy, right? And to experience that and to be a part of that, it would be so much easier to live out that faith. I want you to know right now, we need to be that church that understands that that faith is real right now. Has he made a difference in your life? Absolutely, I hope that's true. I once was this person, and now I'm not anymore. I have been changed, and it is because of what God has done in my life. I want Jesus to be heard through all my actions. And if I failed, I admit it. And I approach those that I have failed. Church, we should sound like and be like our Savior. more and more every day. And I'm telling you right now, the world wants that and is dying for that kind of authentic relationship with our Savior through us. They're waiting for you to prove it. Be sanctified through and through. Let Him change you. Let Him be the reason that you wake up, find peace in His presence. Go ahead and the next one. Go, skip ahead. Let's go to Corinthians. Corinthians. This morning as we approach, and I'm going to have them come up, the band, or the Trips come up. And we're going to take communion in a couple seconds, but I felt like this was relative to us to understand communion in this moment. The Corinthian church was a really messed up church. Paul even said, if you go to the next one, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? And I want you to know, it was like that. What shall I say to you? I don't have anything to say good about you. Help me out. Find something good. Like, I've had that moment, I think, with my mom, where she's like, I don't even have words for you right now. Like, you've disappointed me. This is Paul and his reaction to this church, that they just were abusive of everything. And not only did they just abuse everything, they abused the elements that we're going to take today. Communion. Like, they just abused it. They didn't care about it. It didn't mean anything to them. And I want us to understand, first and foremost, do you know that your bodies, your being is a temple that God has created? And the more we abuse it, the more we take advantage of it, the more that we do things that we know that is not what God had intended, we are just like the Corinthians, and Paul's looking at us going, what are you doing? Do I have anything good to say about you? And what I love, if you go on to the next, is this. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This morning, as we take in the elements, the bread and the cup, the body and the blood this morning, I want us to take a moment and examine our hearts. Examine where we've been, what we're doing, what needs to be through and through. What He needs to search out in us and sanctify this morning. Maybe this morning it's the first time you're like, man, I just want to lay down my life. This is the first time I have come to this moment in my life, and I want to say yes to Him. I want a different life. I want this redeemed life. I want to look other than this world. I want to be able to act in a way that is different from how I've always acted. Right? You have that opportunity today. In a couple seconds, the ushers are going to come up, and they're going to hand out the elements. Go ahead and come up. And we're going to listen to some music, and you're going to be holding on to the bread and the cup this morning. Intrinsically, there is no power in this bread and cup this morning. But what I want you to understand the significance of what we are partaking in. That as we hold these elements this morning, and we're going to take it together, but we're going to listen, we're going to examine, we're going to allow Jesus to examine our hearts. What areas do I need to allow Him to sanctify me through and through? You see, church, We are a church, no matter what, you are welcome to take communion. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be anything here. But this is our desire. If you take communion, we want you to understand the significance of what is happening here. That we take this knowing that his body broke for us. That his blood spilt for us. So we didn't have to pay the price. So we can understand a new life. So we can be redeemed and have a new understanding of hope and peace and love. This morning, as you hold on to the elements, allow God to speak to you. Allow God to search your heart and show you where there's no peace, where there's no hope. Let him sanctify you this morning. Let's do that. Understand, there is no autopilot to our relationship with God. Wants you to be fully invested. He wants you to know he is fully invested in you. You see, Jesus sat around the table with his friends. And he looked at them. And he broke a piece of bread off. You need to understand, in a couple of moments later, going to be taken away. And he knew what was going to happen. They didn't understand, like just many times, like in our own relationship with God, we don't understand. Jesus looked at him and said, this is every time you get together and you sit around a table and you break bread, I want you to understand to do that in remembrance of my body breaking for you. There is no autopilot to that. That is a fully engaged life with God. And when we sit around the table, we come to a reflection of understanding there are things in my life that continue to break my Savior. Lord, forgive us. We don't know what we do. As we take this bread this morning, find hope in understanding that the things that have separated us from God can easily be no more. We can hand them over today. We can trust that he has it because his body broke for it. And as we take this morning, may we take being sanctified through and through. Take. Next is he held up a cup. And he looked at him. And I want us to understand, because we sit at this table right now, we hear these words of Jesus right now, and they're directed not just to his disciples, they are directed to you intensely. And he looks at you and he looks at his disciples and goes, man, I love you so much. And every time you get together, I want you to understand that when you raise your cup together and you drink of this cup, you do it in remembrance of the blood that I shed for you. Now let me help you understand the significance of his blood this morning. His blood covers every sin, every mistake, everything that we've ever done to separate us from our Creator. It is covered for all eternity. We should be held accountable for everything we do. In this blood, what it does is it makes it so we are no longer held accountable for our sins. It has redeemed us. And this is one of those moments, as we take it, we understand the significance of it. Because the most innocent and pure individual ever to walk this planet sacrificed his life for you today. And it should pain us, it should hurt us, at the same time, give us joy and a new understanding of living a new life, because we are free. Free from what was, free to be in His presence, to live a life with our God, our Creator. And so as we lift this up today, we lift it up in remembrance of what Jesus did on that cross for us, and what His blood covers and redeems and cleans. And it hurts, and it frees, and gives us peace today. Take in His name. My big hope is this wasn't just an emotional trip. That it wasn't just another service either. That maybe that switch that you have been living on, autopilot spiritually, gets taken out of your life and has no button for that anymore. And that you find peace in His presence tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, the rest of your life. And I know there's going to be some ebbs and flows, there's going to be moments, but you are understanding that your God loves you so much that He's got you already. And it is not by your works, but by His grace that we can live this life that He has called us. So I want you to understand, it is not by your efforts that made you whole. It is by what was done on the cross that makes you holy this morning. And may we live that out this week, and next week, and for the rest of our lives. Stand with me and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, if this is someone's first time ever coming to You and laying their life down, I pray that they understand that all they have to do is believe in You, dear Lord. That all they have to do is, Lord, I believe in You and forgive me. I want to follow You. I want to be redeemed. I want to live a life that was not what I was yesterday, but what I am in Your presence, a new being, a new and free from all that was, and be in Your presence, Lord. Lord, I pray that prayer was prayed today. Lord, this morning, I pray also that we live out a life that we understand who You have been in our life, and we have continued to do things that are not what You have called us to do. Maybe this morning You have come in and said, no more, I don't want You to do it anymore, and we say yes to that. That we want to be different and transformed. and be in your presence and live out your call and to be holy in your name, to understand the sacraments that you have given us. Lord, that your body was broken for us, that you bled for us. I pray that it is real with us. And in that we find holiness. We understand that we are no longer bound by this world and this chaos and the things that we get caught up in, that we are free from it today. I pray that we live a life that you search through and through. That our mind, body, and soul are in one with you. Lord, may we find peace in your presence this week. We give you all the praise, and we do this in your presence, your precious name. Amen. You're dismissed.